Okie dokie. Right, let's get started. So, I think Mike, you were just going to do a quick recap of what we've looked at so far, and then talk us through appointing a mediator. Over to you.
In this series, we've looked at workplace mediation. We've looked at what a scheme can be structured to achieve for you, how it fits in with your existing policies in the handbook. We've looked at a resolution policy pointedly, how you can create an umbrella set of policies for your employee relations issues. We've looked at how that interacts with the ACAS codes and the case law expectations in respect of a fair process when you're dealing with grievances, conflicts, and disciplinary questions. We've looked also about how you might think about introducing a mediation scheme in the workplace. And that's really had it struck a chord with you because so many of you have been in touch asking to know more about the sort of more modern thinking around grievance resolutions and management. And so Adrian and I sat down and thought, well, where should we sort of draw this series to a close? What topic would be useful if we were listening in? And we came to the conclusion that appointing a mediator, appointing us as your mediator, when you're ready to reach out and try mediation, if you're doing it for the first time, that might be a practical sort of thoughts or pose some questions that we could help you with as we close this mini session before coming back to it in the spring. So today's about appointing your mediator and the considerations you need to have in mind.
Marvelous. Okie dokie. So, where would your starting point? So, presumably, it's not appropriate in every occasion, and there may be occasions where internally you want to sit down with your staff. So, give me an example of a type of scenario that you would go, this is ripe for external mediation.
Okay, certainly employee relations issues where people aren't getting on, teams aren't getting on, departments aren't getting on, even businesses and businesses in partnership arrangements aren't getting on. It's those types of situations where the relationship is under strain and people are not pointing in the same direction when they need to be. They're classic mediation situations where I would encourage our audience to reach out and talk to us about whether mediation would work before you do anything else. You don't, before you get your investigation hat on, before you formalize processes around grievance or anti-harassment policies and processes, think about, well, could we have an external voice helping these parties sort out the issue without us having to intervene at all?
Yes, it's getting in early enough, isn't it? I think that's been one of the key things that I've taken out of listening to you talk about this is before you go down the route of it escalating to such an extent that you get a formal complaint or even in an informal complaint, as we've talked about before, always puts HR in a difficult position. It's like, what do we do with that? It's going, right, get in early. Let's get in early and see if we can almost head this off at the pass, and take a different route, isn't it? I think that's a key takeaway, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not just me saying it. I think from experience, I found that if you intervene early with a recommended course of action being mediation to parties in conflict and go outside of the business, you tend to find that their positions are not entrenched. What happens if you allow the processes to formalize and go forward before then trying mediation? You're going to find it's harder to unpick. So I always advocate mediation as soon as the parties are willing to try it. Some lawyers will disagree with that and have other opinions. Well, that's fine. That's up to them. But there is nothing wrong in suggesting to your people or to parties in litigation, now's a good time to go and talk about it. And now can be right now. You don't need to wait to complete processes before there is this perfect tick box opportunity. The sooner the better.
So, who to appoint? Obviously, I'm going to go, well, obviously, clearly, Mike is going to be who to appoint. But in all seriousness, setting that sort of egotism out of the way, then what are the types of things that you would look for if you were looking to appoint a mediator?
I think in terms of the workplace mediation situation where you've got employee relations issues and you want to resolve those, I would encourage you to reach out to us if you know us already, either through these webinars or through our advisory relationship in cases where that's appropriate. Someone who knows your business, who knows your policies, who knows your culture is a good place to start, because it's great background, and the mediator who gets to know the business in this way through mediation appointments could actually be better prepared each time there's a mediation, and can actually help you understand if there are, if you like, repeat situations arising where overall you might then say, well, look, we need to train people better, or we need to focus some outputs on these areas where we're seeing repeat issues.
Yeah.
Go out with a different mediator each time, then you're not going to have that continuity. But equally, I think out of appointing a similar mediator each time, or the same mediator, you get to know the personality style, the character, the fit of the mediator to the situation. And that gives you, as the appointing HR stakeholders, greater comfort. But actually, we know Mike well, so let's try this with Mike. If he says initially it's not for him, he'll have a reason for that, and we'll be able to recommend someone else. So if, for example, there's a situation involving individuals where there is some medical background involved, then it may well be, I would be suggesting, in appropriate cases, a mediator with psychology sort of background,
mm-hmm.
or medical background, as opposed to a lawyer dealing with the issue, to help the understanding. In some cases where teams are involved, I've worked with other mediators as well.
Oh.
Some of the key sort of the sheer numbers if the parties in conflict and the team sizes, etc. So mediation is very flexible in that way. But if you come to me for a sensible discussion about whether it could be us or someone else, I won't just be looking to get the appointment myself. I will be giving you genuine sort of professional
guidance.
Yes or no, it can't be me in this instance.
Yeah. Oh, that's really interesting. And just sort of coming back to, I suppose I'm jumping back a little bit in terms of scenarios. You talked about where teams can't get on, but, you know, so it's, that would be sort of like a peer-to-peer breakdown type of thing. But presumably it's also valid for, as we've talked about before, the manager and employee breakdown, where there might be that lack of communication where the message isn't coming through. But that's particularly important, isn't it, to jump in early before Absolutely. That really does just disintegrate.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, in workplace mediations, I've done more performance capability related mediations than I have conduct based or employee relations, pure and simple based mediations. And where I've, looking back at those, I realized that actually the process has got in the way of the real conversation subject matter.
Right. When you say process, you mean the performance management process.
Yeah, it has to perform, it has to
Here's
have
a PIP,
the warning, etc. So if you get too bogged down in that process, without the parties really sitting down and saying, well, what does success look like? Where are the objectives currently? How far short are you of them? What can we do to get you up to the standards required?
Yeah.
So it's certainly those types of situations. I've had an employee relations subject matter for a team of lawyers in a property team in a law firm, where they just fell out of sync with each other, I think is the way to put it. And after 6 weeks of one-to-ones, and then gradually building up to a team meeting, a return to work meeting, as I call them, they were able to all get facing the same direction and move forward. And so the power of mediation is really, it is magic to me. I don't know what causes people to realize and get sort of into the positive mind frame after months, often of perhaps years in some cases, of having been out of sync with someone at work. It does reset them. It does help them forward. It does help them recognize where they've gone wrong and to set the road marks, if you like, in the plan for the future to ensure it doesn't happen again. So there are a few cases that are unsuitable for mediation. They can be categorized as those where the business must intervene, where there's been gross misconduct issues, criminal matters, discrimination. They wouldn't be appropriate for mediation. But restoring relationships, following formal procedures, can often be a complementary way of using mediation, even in those tough cases.
So, can I just interrupt you there? Can I go back to your little example there and just sort of unpick that a little bit? So when you had your team that had got out of sync with each other, can you just talk a little bit more about it in terms of what was the problem? And was it a leadership, lack of communication, mistrust amongst people? What in your view came out of the mediation that you saw that you could then help overcome?
In that particular case, I think it was, as in most cases, if I look for one reason that best explains the source of the problem, it's a breakdown in communication, right, which breeds contempt eventually and resentment. And then people go back into their shells, they become defensive, untrusting, and it's a vicious circle. Or a vicious spiral, if you like, if that's the expression. In their case, they were a conveyancing team and each person had a role to play in the process of conveyancing. And where, of course, it started to break down was there wasn't one person in overall supervisory control or management of the overall process. They each had to contribute their own bit to the process of selling or buying. And the clients were then being impacted negatively when the person who did the pre-contract exchange inquiries wasn't getting on with the person who was doing the exchange itself. So it just slowed down the whole process. And I think looking at those team members and the age profiles, I think played a role. There was a seniority juniority sort of divide, yeah, which bred some degree of the mistrust that had crept in. But when they were able through a one-to-one sessions with each other to actually talk through their problems and then come back to the final meeting together, they all realized actually they had a very important role to play, each of them, and that actually it wasn't about another person being more important. They were equally important to the process, and they all agreed that the client came first and that they hadn't been being served well. So that was a particularly pleasing result.
Yeah.
And if you appoint me, you will see some follow-up to mediation to make sure things are still working well for the parties in the months that follow.
Oh, that's interesting. So you help to keep people on track. Can you give me an example of when it maybe hasn't gone so well? And I don't mean in terms of the mediation not being successful. I mean it may be that it's not always successful, like a lot of things. But you know, where it's resulted in the parties not coming together, maybe one of them leaves or something like that.
Well, I would say in a typical mediatory way, I'd say a person agreeing to leave is an actual positive outcome.
Right, true.
If it's taken mediation to actually highlight that to the individual that they're in the wrong job, and it's been done in a positive, open and trusting environment, as opposed to being just told, we're letting you go because you're not good at the job. I had several of those actually for the same business, where over a long period of time, the parties had worked together. And in one particular case I'm thinking of, the master had become the servant and the servant had become the master. So what I mean by that is one of the parties had employed the junior member of staff who over the years had then taken over his job as he stepped down towards retirement. And that in itself had created a bit of a pressure point in the relationship, with the servant thinking that they weren't satisfying the previous master's expectations of their performance. And when they sat down together, all this came out, and they were able to shake on it and realize actually they both wanted the same thing, that the servant who had become the new manager or master wanted to feel the previous boss, the person now as the servant, if you like, in the relationship, still respected them and was able to coach them still, and to actually wanted to reach out to them when they had a stiff problem to deal with. Yeah. And so that was very restorative. And it can be very, when they come together as equals, as mediation expects and looks for, that can actually shed them off the obligations of the line management in the workplace. And I do try and do mediations away from the workplace, so it's a neutral ground, if you like, to help them feel that it's not manager line employee situations. That can take some getting through, but it can work if they're both positively minded.
Can I just chuck in a question here, because this is a question that we often get asked, and I think it's a really valid question. The question: how insistent can an employer be to hold a mediation meeting when one of the parties is not willing to engage? And I mean, I know for a fact, but then to be fair, in the experience that I've had, it's been the formal grievance has gone in, you know, it's the kitchen sink and all. You can see there's the breakdown of the relationship, and you know, the grievance is then investigated, typical process, grievance investigation, grievance outcome, and in the outcome mediation is suggested. And it's normally at that point that one or either of the parties has just said, not bloody interested, thanks very much. So I suppose my question to you is, if we've got a resolution policy, how insistent can an employer be?
I think it's the best way to create an expectation that mediation will be the starting point as opposed to the finishing point is to reset the culture. And the ones I've drafted recently have been designed to put mediation at the forefront of all communications in the business and the expectations under the culture. So we are expecting you as our employees to be open and transparent with each other and to have the confidence and the trust to raise with each other issues you may have over communications or working relations. If that cannot happen because for whatever reason you do feel uncomfortable, then come to us and we will suggest mediation or informally, formally, externally, internally to suit. So you're actually empowering your people to deal with issues together if they feel comfortable in doing so. But if you've got a situation where having a policy of that sort of modern content in place, but one party is refusing to engage with the message of mediation or the recommendation of for mediation, as you suggested, then the business can take a view and say, well, how can we be more encouraging? In appropriate cases, and I was talking to a business this morning about this, and we were talking how best to sell mediation to the parties. The starting point has to be that mediation is voluntary because it works best if it's voluntary. But that said, if the business has got to a point where it's saying to the parties, look, we're getting towards the end of our tether, but we're going to invest in mediation for you because we think you can sort this out yourselves, and indeed you must, because you're senior managers in this business and we expect you to have that maturity in approach, we would therefore say to you, try mediation, because this can't go on. Yeah. It's the message we agreed upon to give to the parties at this stage. Now, if one party then signs up to mediation, but the other doesn't, even though that message has been delivered, then the business could escalate the message content and say, look, we really do need you to do this, because otherwise we may have to try something different and you may not, that may
not be as pleasant.
Ultimately, it can come to the point, well, we've offered you mediation, you won't do so, you won't hear the message you're being given. Sorry, we're having to let you go from this role because you're not behaving like a leader. And that doesn't force the issue, but it does allow you to say, well, we've tried this, and we go back to the formal processes available to us. And it could be, even if there is anything, even if there's nothing tangible, if you like, in terms of conduct or issues that could be dealt with formally within a capability or grievance or disciplinary process, you might be saying, actually, we've tried everything. We've tried the suggestion of mediation. Has the relationship broken down irreparably? Is this a trust and confidence dismissal situation we're looking at? Some other substantial reason for ending the relationship? So it's a progressive process. It's an incremental conversation you would have. And hopefully the individuals would pick up on the signals and say, oh, okay, I need to engage with this.
Better give it a try. Yeah,
exactly. But I do find if they've come to me because they've been pushed, I get shot at through their reluctance. And I have to work a bit harder to say, look, this is in your interest. Give it a go. What have you got to lose? And I can normally work through that and encourage them.
I think for a lot of people, it's an education piece, like you're saying. And if you're changing the culture and you're putting it into a resolution policy sort of front and center before things really escalate, then people need to understand it's not a scary thing. It's a bit like, you know, oh, you're going to mediation. Oh, it's a bit like our old fashioned approach to therapy. There must be something wrong with you, rather than seeing it as a tool for what it is, which is, you know, a communication settler and just another way of trying to make the business better, I suppose. You could be all positive in your policy, couldn't you?
Certainly, you can. I spent a lot of time in the one I've drafted most recently in setting the scene and explaining what mediation is and what it isn't, so that anyone whose attention is directed to the policy, they can say, well, actually, it's a communications mechanism. It's a parallel that I can jump onto without the business getting to know what we discussed. And often, if someone has been reluctant, Adrian, to come to mediation, I can reassure them by saying, well, everything you discuss with me and with the other party is confidential unless you both agree to share it with the business. So if your reluctance is in part sort of fueled by a fear that the business is going to hear back from me about what was talked about, that won't be the case. And if I get to hear that there's been a sharing by the other party of anything that was confidentially covered in the mediation, and the HR team come to me as a typical stakeholder responsible, I would say in isolation, well, that is deserving of disciplinary conduct in isolation, because it is a breach of confidentiality and a breach of trust. Having committed to me and the business, I will respect the ground rules of mediation and not share. I've now done that, so I can expect the business to be less than happy.
It
has its teeth indirectly. But remember that these workplace mediation schemes are encouraging of morally binding agreements, not legally binding ones.
But in a way, that's better, isn't it?
It is, because it doesn't pressurize the individual into thinking, oh, I could be held to this through the law.
No, I think it's interesting. So I know that you've been talking to a couple of people and you've set up a couple of pilot schemes. Give me an idea of what a pilot scheme might look like.
That's easier to set up than you think. You need, I think, within the, typically it's HR stakeholders that have the responsibility for this, and employee relations management within the HR structure. The last one I set up followed a webinar like this, where I was introducing the audience to what mediation is and what it could do. And I said, as I'm going to say now, the first five people to call me, I'm happy to give you a taster and a pilot scheme mediation for free of charge, so that you can get to see how it might work for you. And the phone rang in that previous instance, And I ended up working for 18 months with an organization in basically saying, right, the pilot scheme can start today. If you've got a case that's appropriate, let's talk about it. I need you and your HR colleagues to understand that actually this is not part of any formal process. Any process that there has been in place needs to be put on ice, and you need to be ready in HR to just tear up process and stop it, cancel it if you like, if the mediation results in an outcome that's successful for the parties. Mm. So it's a tangent to what you've been used to in HR mediation. And once the business is in that space, then I can say, right, all I need is next time you get the whiff of a grievance or an employee relations issue, say, okay, look, before we do anything, we've got the formal grievance and disciplinary processes in the background. We're going to recommend you talk to a mediator free of charge at our cost, ultimately, if it goes to mediation. Here's Michael's details. He's going to reach out to you. Are you happy for us to give him your details? Michael's independent. He doesn't work for us. He's outside the organization. Have a confidential conversation with him to see if mediation's for you. You'll be coming back saying, yes, that's really good. We're going to go with this. And then everything is out of off the radar. It's entirely confidential. It's independent. Michael will fill you in on what's involved. All we need you to do is commit to having a conversation exploratorily with Michael to start with, and then see where it goes. That doesn't take much time, and it certainly doesn't take any cost, because HR and I, we just talk about the cost of the mediation session once the parties have agreed to try it. So there is some budget needed, but actually with a pilot scheme, individually I can talk to you about how the pricing might look, and how we can help you explore whether this is right for your culture. And I, you know, at some point I'll need to charge, but actually I'm more interested in sowing the seeds.
Yeah, giving a flavour for it. Yeah.
And finding a way of resolving things.
Yeah. And telling HR, cancel that email to that really busy manager who doesn't really want to deal with the grievance because they've got far too much on their day job, because it's not needed on this occasion. I think that's one of the key things to remember, is it's another way of avoiding overloading already busy people in the business who are probably going to be reluctant. I mean, if I did a poll right now and said, how many times did you struggle to find somebody to be the appeal hearing manager, for example, I think probably everybody would put their hands up. So
including HR as well, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
When you get that call, you immediately go into investigation mode. And then you reach for the policy handbook and you reach for your notebook, etc. You don't do anything like that. If you think this is one where mediation could actually provide a more meaningful solution, because the parties come up with their own ideas for solving their issues, it's not me advising or suggesting, you don't need to get involved in another investigation or another grievance process. This is a way of avoiding and saving and finding time, if you like. And it can be done through, you know, subject to my availability and the party's availability. It can be done very quickly. Normally within a week or two of being instructed. So
yeah, it sounds good. Well, it seems to be, we're actually already out of time. I mean, for me, that half hour absolutely flew by, and I could listen to many more examples of mediation, but I'm gonna draw a halt there. As Mike said, get in touch with him if you just want to have a chat to understand more about it. You know, run a sample scenario by him just to see if it's something you think it can work. Oh, hang on a second. We've just had one final comment that I'm just going to chuck in, because I think it's pretty interesting. If you know that you might need a person available for an appeal, a company might not use all its best brains at an early stage in the procedure of a grievance. I think that's a fantastic point, because you go, well, no, we won't get them involved. We'll save them for an appeal. And yeah, really, really good point to the person who made that. So,
very good.
Very good point. Right, I'm going to close it now. Reminder, as always, Spotify, website, come and look out for our other content that's coming out. Join us on future webinars. And all it remains is for me to say, have a fantastic day.
I've got one final comment, if I may. In the downs, if you like, for 6 months, look out for outputs that I'll be putting out, building on the messages from the mini-series to date. And we're launching a new series called Better Call the Mediator, which is particularly mediation-themed, a bit like Open Mic, but it gives a focus on the message, if you like, on the topic, on the subject matter. So that'll be hitting your screens very soon. So I hope you find that useful. Feedback as usual. Thank you so much for supporting us.
Have a good day, everybody.
Likewise. Thanks.